Again, it's our privilege to have with us Dr. Sherion. The Lord has raised up this man for such a time as this. For 25 years, he has directed the ministry of the South India Baptist Bible College. The Lord has used him in a powerful way to raise up these young people, to teach them concerning the truths of God's Word, to instill in them a discipline that is much needed in America. I was so struck when I was there concerning the diligence and the discipline of the young people. They're there for a reason. They're not there because they're going to have frat parties. They're not there because they're going to have lots of sports events and so forth. They're there because they're training to serve God. And the attitude and the presence of mind of those students was a striking thing to me. And Dr. Cherion is the one that has set the tone for 25 years. That is a place that is moving all the time. They're not standing still. They've got activities from the youngest children, the smallest children, all the way up to those that are working on their doctorates. There are building projects going on. There are people cleaning. There are people out witnessing. There are people that are studying. It is an active place there in India, and it's our privilege today to have Dr. Cherion again with us to come and to preach God's Word and to share what the Lord has laid upon his heart.
Thank you, Pastor Brainard and Grace Bible Church, for your love towards that ministry and your prayer. I don't take it for lightly. I came to know the Lord in the year 1967, long time ago. I strongly believe with all my heart, faith comes by hearing God's Word. In the year 1967, one of my cousins, he shared the gospel with me. I remember one of the verses he used was from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 8, which tells the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then my cousin asked me this question: if I were to die that day, where would I spend my eternity? I said, I don't know. Then he showed me from God's word, if I receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart, I can be saved. That day in 1967, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Ever since, I believe with all my heart, there is absolutely no substitute for being born again. Person failed to be born again is lost forever and ever. It doesn't make any difference. A man whose color is yellow, pink, black, white, literate or illiterate. When Nicodemus approached the Lord Jesus Christ, he addressed him in such a manner and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a good teacher who come from God. No man can do these miracles except God be with you. Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He also said, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. It's a glorious and wonderful thing to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and God. But can you imagine those millions outside of us groping in darkness? Between China and India, over 2 billion people groping in darkness. What can we do? We know our sins are forgiven. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Someday you and I, we are going to spend eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If we truly believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, we ought to be on our move telling people about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time when we tell those Hindus, 84% of a billion people who worship 33 million gods and goddesses, every time we tell them, under heaven, above earth, there is no other name given among men where a person can be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they look at us and say, What? What are we going to do with the 33 million gods and goddesses? But the Bible tells us Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can go to heaven except the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I was thinking, what am I going to preach this morning? The Lord laid upon my heart to give a challenge from God's word, from the testimony of Apostle Paul. I'm going to read a few verses from the book of Romans chapter 1, reading verses 14 to 17. 14 to 17. This is the testimony of Apostle Paul. The book of Romans chapter 1, reading verse 14 to 17. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your word. Dear Lord, I pray thou wilt truly challenge us this morning. Give us that word in our hearts to reach the lost wherever we live. Father, we pray thou wilt truly give us a heart full of compassion to reach those who are groping in darkness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The chief concern of Apostle Paul was this, to reach the lost with the gospel. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Think for a minute the word woe. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The word woe means grievous, distress, affliction, trouble to me. Do we consider the same way as Apostle Paul felt? A persecutor of Christians, when he came to know the Lord, the whole attitude changed. One consuming desire in his heart and mind, that was to reach the lost with the gospel. Therefore he said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. May that be our testimony this morning. In Romans chapter 1 verse 2, Apostle Paul said that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart for his brethren and kinsmen. May God Almighty give us a great burden in our own hearts for those of our own who are lost in sin. There are great men felt the same way as Apostle Paul felt, and they tried to reach the lost with the gospel. Think about Hudson Taylor, saved at the age of 17. Founded the China Inland Mission, died at the age of 73, obeyed the call of God, established 205 mission stations in China, sent over 800 missionaries, over 125,000 Chinese Christians were there at the time when he left. One man, one desire, one longing to reach the lost. David Livingstone, the missionary to Africa for over 30 years, the Scottish missionary, you know how the Lord challenged him? He said, what shall I do with my life? The Great Commission overpowered his life. He obeyed the call of God. May God Almighty challenge your hearts this morning. Charlotte Tucker, a missionary lady who went to India, the northern part of India, who obeyed the call of God at the age of 54. Can you imagine? She mastered the North Indian language in 1 year time, the Hindustani language. When the Lord called her, she asked the Lord, Lord, do you know that I am 54 years old? What am I going to do in the northern part of India? My skin color is different. I don't speak the same language they speak. The moment I go there, they will kill me. But the Lord laid a great burden on her heart and said, Charlotte, I want you to go to the northern part of India. At the age of 54, she obeyed the call of God. Long 18 years she served the Lord there. Even today, those North Indian people that speak about Charlotte Tucker, who obeyed the call of God. Hundreds and thousands of people came to know the Lord through her Bible study and ministering to children. She obeyed the call of God at the age of 54. We may often wonder, what can I do? I am 50, 45, 30. All God expects us is to make us available to Him. The rest He will do. Remember John Hyde, known as the Praying Hyde, a missionary from Charlotte, Illinois. He had heard the call of the regions beyond. Somebody challenged him about the need going overseas. He had so many nicknames. Some referred him as the man who never slept. Some called him as the apostle of prayer. He also was known as the Praying Hyde. I read the history. Sometimes he spent 36 long hours in prayer. Sweat used to come off from all over his body. He was pleading and asking the Lord, Lord, save those heathen people in India. Think about Adoniram Judson. He could not get away from the thought, go ye into the world. As a young man, he had cried out, this is what he said, I will not leave Burma until the cross is planted here forever. What a tremendous determination. What a tremendous desire. He said, I will not leave Burma until the cross is planted here forever. 30 years after his death, Burma had 63 Christian churches, 163 missionaries, and over 7,000 baptized converts. He could not see the first convert for 7 years. But God is in His time. He brought men and women to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you think about the 1040 windows of the world? And hundreds and thousands of people in those regions dying and going to hell. What can we do to reach those lost with the gospel? And Apostle Paul, when he received the Lord Jesus Christ, his whole attitude changed. Notice in verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now a man who bragged and boasted about his background, his education. Now when he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, his attitude changed and he said, I am a slave for the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Philippians chapter 3. It says, verse 4, Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now this tells me, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Our old things are passed away. A man who had a lot of confidence in the flesh, in his background, in his education, he said, those things I count dung for the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. When he came in contact with the Lord, his life changed. One consuming passion and desire in his heart was this, to reach the lost. Therefore he said, I am a debtor. I am a debtor. That was, the word debtor simply means the one who is under obligation. And ophiletes, of course, in this word is used when a man owes somebody some money. That's how this word is used in extra-biblical language. And Apostle Paul said, I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. In other words, he said, I am under obligation to pay this great debt. How can I pay this great debt to all others who are around me? My friends, I would like to remind you this morning, you and I, we are debtors. It made no difference to Paul whether a man was cultured or crude, intellectual or ignorant. He would proclaim Christ to all people with equal passion and desire. For example, Onesimus, a runaway slave, he presented Christ the same way he presented Christ to King Agrippa. We are debtors to all mankind. My friends, I would like to remind you this morning, you are debtors to your neighbors, your own kith and kin who are groping in darkness. Think about those great missionaries who were challenged to go to other parts of the world. They realized the fact if they don't take this glorious gospel, men and women would die and go to hell. And I strongly believe with all my heart, our generation must reach our generation. Otherwise, they will die and go to hell. What's the hope for those heathens, 84% of a billion people groping in darkness, worshipping 33 million gods and goddesses? People often talk about the second coming of Christ, but many of them haven't heard about the first coming. Who are going to go to those regions and tell those people about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? And I believe with all my heart, we ought to be challenged like Apostle Paul. We need to come to the grip and say, I'm a debtor. Not only to America, the regions beyond. Think about the 1040 windows. People never, ever heard a clear presentation about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul said, I'm a debtor, both to the poor and the rich, literate and illiterate. All must hear this glorious gospel preached. Then the second thing, notice, he said, as much as in me, I am ready to preach this gospel. He said, I am ready. My question to you is this, are you ready to get across your street and tell some people about the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready to give a tract to some people? You know, sometimes we think, well, what this tract is going to do? We can hear hundreds of testimonies of great people who read the tract, a gospel tract, and came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, Miss East, an American missionary, brought a young man to Bethel Baptist Church where I was ministering, pastoring. You know how that Islamic man came to know the Lord Jesus Christ? By reading a tract. Miss East could not speak any of the Indian languages, but she was very faithful in handing out tracts, hundreds of them. She used to give it away. This young man by name Muhammad received one of those tracts and read, and he asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into his heart. Miss East brought the young man into Bethel Baptist Church where I was pastoring, and he was there with us for 3 years. Every time the door was open, Muhammad was there. When we baptized him, we changed his name to John. Pretty soon his own people heard Muhammad, their son, received the Lord Jesus Christ and he's going to a Christian church. They couldn't bear that. According to them, he is a betrayer. He betrayed their religion. They took him back home and put him in a room and asked him to renounce and reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And John said, no, I will not do it. If what we heard is true, that was the last day in the life of Muhammad. Now people can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ even by reading a tract. Faith comes by hearing God's word. Apostle Paul said, I'm ready. I'm ready to give this glorious as gospel. The question is this, are you ready to go? If the Lord calls you to go beyond the region, the call is still there. The Lord is calling. The Lord is asking this great question, to whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Maybe a young person or an older person, irrespective of our age, would you make that commitment and say, Lord, here am I, send me. All what the Lord is looking for, making ourselves available to him. The rest, he will guide us. Then Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed. You know how he was treated? He has been imprisoned in Philippi, smuggled out of Berea, laughed at in Athens, regarded as a fool in Corinth, stoned in Galatia. Yet he said, I'm not ashamed. Are you ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is the power of God unto salvation. That's why Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he preached at Jerusalem, the religious center of the world, he was mobbed. When he preached at Athens, the intellectual center of the world, he was mocked. When he preached at Rome, the legislative center of the world, he was martyred. He said, I'm ready. Are we ready to get across our street and tell some people about the Lord Jesus Christ? Then I'm not ashamed, the Apostle Paul said. There is a reason why Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed. In Apostle Paul's day, there were three leading thoughts. The Greeks with their logic, the Romans with their law, the Hebrews with their light. Apostle Paul said, nothing can be compared to the gospel which I preach. That's why he said, I'm not ashamed. All those people, they bragged about their knowledge and the light and all the wisdom they had. He said, I'm not ashamed because the gospel I preach, it can save souls. It can give the forgiveness of sins. Gospel is the power of God. Paul was proud of the potential of the gospel. He himself is an outstanding example. A Christ-hating, Christian-killing fanatic whose whole purpose in life was to bring the gospel to naught. But the Lord changed his life by the very same gospel. He was transformed from a hater of Christ to a herald of Christ by that gospel. Gospel is the power of God. Gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Gospel has the power to change. It can make a drunken man sober, a crooked man straight, a profligate woman pure. This reminds me about a man by name Johnny, who spent a lot of money in gambling and drinking, all the wicked device of the world. Many times I shared the gospel with him. Every time I tell him, he said, don't ever talk to me one more time this gospel. He had given a deaf ear. One day in a glorious way, the Lord opened his heart. The man who hated the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, today he is sharing the same gospel with others. Gospel has the power to change. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Paul was proud of the power of this gospel. He said, I'm not ashamed. As much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Notice the address to everyone that believes. Is it not a glorious and wonderful thing? It doesn't matter who, everyone who believes. The Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the glorious thing. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then finally, Apostle Paul says, and I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. Apostle Paul said, I am a debtor. I'm ready. I'm not ashamed. Think about the millions who are groping in darkness. How are you going to respond to this challenge this morning? The Lord is calling people, men and women. He is calling. Doesn't matter what your age is. You may not be able to go overseas as a missionary, but thank God you can get across your street and tell some people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Or the place where you work, you can give a tract, tell your employer the way of salvation. This morning, Pastor and I, we had a unique opportunity to tell one more time that man who owns that motel there. We told him about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I go to church. We said, no, we are not talking about going to church. We are talking to you about the way of salvation. Faith comes by hearing God's word. We need to do something to reach the lost with the gospel. The Lord said, the harvest truly is plenteous. The laborers are few. What part are you going to play? What are you going to do? Apostle Paul, through his testimony, he challenged the world and said, I'm a debtor. You and I, we are debtors to all mankind to tell them about the way of salvation. There is only one way. That's where the Lord said, under heaven, above earth, there is no other name given among men where a person can be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I often pause when I see, you can ask your pastor, thousands of people you find in a town like Coimbatore, Bangalore. Bangalore is a town of 7.5 million people. I mean, we consider it's a small town, 7.5 million people in 10-mile radius. 90% of them, they do not know the Lord. Maybe 95% of them, they do not know the Lord. How are they going to hear? Except someone goes and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray and say, Lord, raise up men and women in that heathen country so that they could go and share your glorious word. Some of those young men who have graduated from our Bible college, they are in those regions where men and women are being persecuted, but yet they are remaining faithful to the call of God and they are preaching God's word. I don't know how you are going to respond to this message this morning. Think about Charlotte Tucker. At the age of 54, she obeyed the call of God. As someone said, if you're not willing to get across your street and give a tract, the Lord is not going to call you to go as a missionary to overseas. It's not, the Lord will not do it. Wherever you are, start to do it. Would you pray and say, Lord, give me a heart full of compassion? The Bible tells us when Jesus saw those multitudes of people, he was moved with compassion. Would you pray this morning and say, Lord, give me a heart full of compassion? May God speak to our heart. Think about those missionaries who gave their life. Adoniram Judson, William Carey, David Brainerd, many, many of those great men who obeyed the call of God. The Lord said, to whom shall I send? Who will go for us?